Hello, welcome back to another episode of All Bases Covered,
the podcast helping you navigate the beauty industry and cut through the bullshit. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, that's Alison.
We have a special guest.
Welcome to our interview series where we chat to people from all walks of life about beauty, lifestyle, snacks, and everything in between. This is our opportunity to chat with people who can bring a different perspective to the conversations that we usually have on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And also to introduce you to some of the very near and dear friends that we have.
Mm.
And on that note, Lisa, I'm going to let you segue into an introduction into who the heck Alison is and why the heck she's sitting next to us.
Okay, perfect. Alison Willoughby is an artist and designer. She's known for her colourful and abstract pieces. Alison is one of those annoying people, as my mum would say, she just has an eye for colour. She's worked as a graphic designer for iconic Melbourne brands like Dangerfield, Gorman and Fenton & Fenton, as well as producing her own fabulous stationery and art. Come to think of it, Alison is one of the most Melbourne people I know, like the epitome of all things Melbourne. We were just discussing like Melbourne music scene, like she lives in Brunswick, she's just so Melbourne. Anyway, my favourite thing about Alison is that she's one of those people that you think are shy and quiet and bashful when you don't know them, and then you get to meet her and she's savage and hilarious, and then she'll laugh at your jokes so hard that her face turns into a tomato, and I love her dearly. So thank you for being here, Alison. I understand that this is your introverted nightmare.
Thanks so much for having me. That was very nice introduction.
Lisa's so nice at introducing people. It's like a little talent that you have.
I know.
And it makes people feel really special, I feel like, because you're not a very warm
What? That's the first time I've ever heard that.
And so it's kind of like...
It's like an obituary before you're dead.
It brings a little tear to my eye.
Because
I'm like, listen to this warmth coming from her.
I know. That's going to be like at your wedding when you do your vows.
Oh my goodness.
Did I already tell you? So after I did this, I was in the mood for like writing. So I went to my vow notes and I literally wrote three words, sobbed for 20 minutes and had to close it.
Oh my God.
Such an emotive writer. She makes herself cry.
My words were too beautiful. Anyway, let's get into this ep.
So, Alison, to set the scene for our listeners, on a scale of beauty novice to beauty expert, where would you say that you sit?
Definitely on the novice end, for sure. It's actually kind of funny to be on this podcast, I guess, because I guess I'm into, like, beauty a little bit, but definitely not as much as some people. Mm-hmm. And every time I would buy something, I pretty much always run it by Lisa anyway. So when I get into my products and stuff, it's probably stuff that you guys... you know, already talk about all the time and things like that. But yeah, definitely kind of got into skincare a little bit. My younger sister was definitely on that train a lot before me.
Oh.
Mm. So she kind of introduced me to a lot of that stuff. And like, I guess when you see your younger sibling doing something that you haven't tried and you're like, what's that? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why has she got all this cool shit that I don't
have? Yeah.
So yeah, she showed me a lot of stuff. Like, I have had pretty good skin. So my sister struggled a little bit with that stuff. So she was quite knowledgeable.
Mm.
So, and then obviously like all the packaging and stuff like that. I'm into the design side of that.
Would you say that even though you don't feel that you're very knowledgeable, I suppose, in the beauty space, would you say that you have a natural knack for it? Maybe Lisa can speak more to that, but being an artist, do you feel like it comes a little bit more naturally to you?
No.
Okay,
short answer, no.
No, that's good.
I guess like it's kind of cool to see that colour seems to be used a lot more these days in terms of makeup. And I guess it's been taken a lot more seriously as like a creative outlet in probably the last like 15 years. Like probably Lisa, since you started doing makeup seriously. Like, I feel like before that, I don't really remember it being such a thing.
It was just beige and brown forever.
So I guess like the color side of stuff, although I'm not really like a risk taker when it comes to that stuff, but I have been experimenting a little bit.
I think it's funny because you have such an eye for color. If you were to be creative with your makeup, you could do the most, like, I can see you having like a neon yellow eyeshadow with like a really fun lip that shouldn't go together, but they would. But also you're like literally textbook glossier person. So it's like Alison with her little bit of Bare Minerals on and then like a slick of mascara and brow gel. So you're very simplistic with that. But also you do wear a lot of pattern and color in your clothes.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like that's probably where I struggle.
Yes.
It's like I want to wear something bright or something patterned. So that's kind of like the focus, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it will be like competing and then I don't know how to do it good and stuff. So,
okay.
Thank you. That's good insight.
Also, Alison was the... Remember when we did the rock trial and I was like, this is perfect for, you know, the friend that has the products that they hide at the back, the ultraviolet sunscreen that they hide at the back because it doesn't go with the rest of their pink go-to shelfie.
Ah.
That's literally Alison. That was a description of her shelf. Yes. So it's like, I'll buy the things that go with my bathroom and then I'll hide the things that actually treat my skin behind them.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny because I guess it's like a really flippant thing to care about the packaging, but...
Not at all.
There's definitely, like, if so much care and thought and marketing has gone into a product to make it aesthetically pleasing or to make you want to buy it, you kind of know that the product's going to be good too. I just feel like if there's that much investment in things like that, usually those things go hand in hand.
Agree.
And I feel like it's just a trust thing. Like, if something's well designed, you're going to trust it more.
Yeah.
Than if it's not, because it just feels like it's more considered.
I agree. And I think that beauty is about what you enjoy. Like, everyone partakes in beauty for different reasons. And if you're partaking in it because you think that the packaging is aesthetic and nice and you want it to decorate parts of your house with, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I think sometimes the packaging makes you like a product even if you don't. Like, how badly did we want to like the Glossier hand cream, even though it smelled like Bratz dolls and like didn't do a very good job? But like the packaging, I was like, I'm still going to put it in my handbag.
And I think that like a lot of the beauty purchases I make are often gifts as well. So like if I'm going into Mecca or something like that, I'm going to be drawn to things that I feel like work really well as like a little gift set or something that. And in those moments, like it makes sense to like get something that looks cute.
How fun is that? I remember my first probably ever days going into a Mecca store in Melbourne Central. We used to go in for the beauty to go to find the cute things that looked good together that we could make like little gifts for our friends with.
Yeah.
We didn't know what any of the products did back then, but they all looked cute.
Yeah.
On that, what would you say that is the category of beauty that gets you most excited?
Probably skincare, just because I don't know about the word excited, but it's more like I enjoy that more, I guess. Just because I guess with my makeup, I have the same routine that I do all the time. And I guess I do with skincare too, but it's more of like a relaxing routine. And I'm such a routine person. Like I have orders of doing things and it just feels good to like tick it all off. Cause I'm just like an achievement junkie. Like that's almost a negative thing about me, as like I'm so obsessed with achieving things, which
okay, Alison, this isn't a job interview. I just work too hard.
No, but that's why it feels like it feels good when I'm done with skincare. Yeah. And sometimes makeup is just a bit of a chore, I guess.
Yeah.
It feels like
Speaking of rituals, can you run us through your perfect beauty routine? So it might be hair, makeup, skincare, whatever makes you feel like, yes, I'm feeling great today.
So for skincare, this is kind of like a morning post-workout. So there's only one thing different after a workout. But anyway.
Still important context.
Namaste.
Yeah. So Lisa, you'll know all these products.
After her morning mindfulness and journaling. Yes. Achievement junkie.
Yeah. First is go-to fancy face cleanser.
Yeah.
Nice.
Definitely fancy face, not properly clean, because I hate the drippy arms, which I feel like you've talked about before.
Oh, you do it dry, not in the shower.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Not in the shower.
I hate the drippy arms.
Yeah. Then if I'm like got red, because I have a lot of redness in my skin, like you said with my intro, my tomato face.
That's because you're laughing, not a constant tomato.
Yeah. I use the Glossier Moisturizing Moon Mask.
Oh.
And it's like really cooling. And I put that on for like 20 minutes.
Oh my goodness. This is nice.
You use a mask,
a
couple of times a week?
Yeah. Only if I'm like really need it.
Yeah.
Is this like a working from home day as well? Or would you do, like, would you mini mask
before? No, I would never mask before office work. No, okay. No.
I wonder if that has a lot of niacinamide in it, the mask. I imagine it does.
It's, like, really thick. I don't know. Then I wash that off. Then I use Go-To Face Hero. Then Glossier Priming Moisturizer, the rich one, like the little tub. Sometimes I'll use that, or sometimes I'll just use ultraviolet
sunscreen.
Yep.
She has to pull that from the back of the cupboard.
Yeah.
Ultraviolet Supreme Screen.
Yep.
Yeah.
50 plus.
Yeah.
The hydrating one.
Alison's also one of the whitest people you've ever met.
I'm really pale and I have really dry skin, so that one's good.
Yeah.
That's just like my normal routine, except the mask wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Every day. So it's kind of like two brands.
I was going to say, actually, the entire routine is millennial pink, except for the ultraviolet.
No, yeah. And peach.
So basically, yeah. Ultraviolet really need to release a pink.
Yes.
Oh, you might like their new skin tint that they're bringing out has a pink lid.
There you go.
It's a bit neon. It might clash a little bit.
Yeah. Disaster.
No, that's fine. And then makeup. This is like always the exact same. So I don't really need a primer if I use that Glossier moisturizer.
Yep.
But I do use the Stila One Step Correct.
Yes.
In my like red areas of my eyes.
Literal lifesaver. Do you ever wear that alone?
Not really, because I feel like it has like a bit of a weird consistency.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I find that product so cool because it's got like the three colors and using like Photoshop and stuff as a designer, you color balance things using red, green and blue.
Yeah.
And it's just funny to see that in like a physical form.
Yeah.
First time I bought that, I was like, oh, this makes so much sense because that's how you balance colors on the computer.
I literally think I sold you that on the floor.
That's such a nerdy thing. But yeah, you definitely sold me that.
Yeah. Life imitating art right here.
Then I use NARS Radiant Creamy Concealer. Combined with NARS Sheer Glow, which I've been using that for so long since you would have recommended me. I just really like that. And that's pretty much it for the base. And then Hourglass Bronzer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know if there's different kinds. Ambient Lighting is the one I use.
I'll use the Ambient Lighting Powder.
That's like the only powder I use.
Yep.
Everything else is like
creamy.
Creamy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just have like, as you would say, drugstore eyebrow pencil. I have really fair eyebrows and I'm like terrified to make them extreme.
Yeah.
So I'm just like really conservative when it comes to that.
You've come a long way though.
Yeah.
You've got like Icelandic eyebrows and brown hair. And so I feel like you've really in the last few years, now they're like an appropriate lightness for your hair color.
Yeah.
You've really stepped up.
Yeah. I've like experimented with tinting and stuff. Yes. Not myself, but. Yeah, one day we'll get there. Then I've got Bare Minerals Lashtopia Mascara.
Interesting.
Which I think my sister Annika told me to get. And then just lip balm. That's it.
What lip balm's your fave?
Oh, I'm so basic. Just like Nivea.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Although I do have like, I do like some of the, I think it's Hourglass Nude lipsticks as well.
Yeah.
They're like the matte finish.
Yep.
They're good, but yeah, that's probably it.
My favorite thing about that routine is how, like, if you were to like Google cool girl products, your entire routine would come up.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
well, it's a product of you helping me. So
it's just like the products of her time, like ultraviolet sunscreen, like NARS creamy concealer and sheer glow. It's just such a like influencer influenced. I love it. All good stuff, but it's all the like holy grails of this era.
Yeah.
100%. It's all of the things that if I hadn't been spending my, what feels like a lifetime in beauty and like being obsessed with buying and consuming beauty products, that's probably still what my routine would be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love hearing that. This is where things get juicy. We're going to spill some tea. Not really. What do you think is an overhyped beauty product or a product you'll never repurchase again and why?
Okay, so I went for the overhyped product and I may lose a few friends here. I really built this up. But anyway, I think Diptyque candles are overrated and I don't get it.
Okay. First of all, why?
First of all, because I've never been like a candle girl.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But,
well, then you would hate Diptyque because they're overpriced and what's the point?
So that's part one. But I have, since I started working at Fenton, when you go to the showroom, it smells amazing in there. And I think since I started working there, you can really appreciate, it's like an extra sense.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense to the experience. And since I got my own home as well, I've sort of wanted to try and do candles more, but I've just never been like a candle girl, I guess.
Yeah. Did your parents when you were a child like not let you burn things? Because that happened to me and then I had like an oppression of like, I can't burn a candle because I'll burn the house down.
Same. Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really remember. That actually makes a lot of sense. I've gone
the
other way.
The moment I was allowed to have had my own place,
yeah,
I was like, fill it with fire.
Yeah. Yeah, because my dad was always like, you know, have a bottle of nail polish or something out. Oh, that smells. Light a candle, yes. Light incense. That smells. Put it out. You set things alight. And it was like, okay.
Yeah. My mom's pretty sensitive to smells. Well, she's like very particular. So maybe that's got something to do with it.
It's a deep-rooted family issue.
Yeah. Plus, I know you love them, Lisa. Mm. And when I came here today, I've seen them everywhere.
Mm.
But
she's going to deeply
offend I just don't get the hype, I guess. Because, like, they're fine. But, like, why are they so good? And what is that Christmas thing on the top? Oh. Like, what the hell is that?
I love that. Also, okay, so firstly, I get it, kind of. Some of them are, like, dirty burners. Not all of the scents are for me, but I just think that there's something. And do you know what? The pattern isn't even very aesthetic for my house. Like, the way the letters are, it's very, like, not suitable for my, like, modern industrial home, but I think it's probably just like the Mecca ingrained in me. And like, if you see a lovely flat lay or like an into the gloss post, like they've got a diptyque candle. Yeah. LeBron travels with tiny diptyque candles and lights them in his hotel rooms.
Are you serious?
That's but Bay is his favorite. Anyway,
definition
so like,
of bougie.
There is a thing, but shame on you for not liking the lantern because that's very German Christmas.
It's Dutch Christmas.
Yeah, so Allison's German.
I guess I just didn't understand what it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know how you get the... Like so mobiles. Brenton's mum has, the full wooden mobiles that she buys from, like, the German spice shop, and they're gorgeous, but you burn them with, like, a stick candle underneath.
Yeah.
It's like a super luxe version of that. So when I saw them, I was like, this is my...
heritage.
My very small amount of German and Brenton's mum German that she's pushed on me meeting a diptyque luxe lifestyle. So I was like, this is fucking everything to me.
To me, when I see the candle, it looks like an eye chart.
Oh.
Like you're at the doctor.
The way the letters are spelled. Yeah. I see what you mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's like, I don't hate them.
Yeah.
When I was just thinking about like what's overhyped, I guess it's just that.
They are very hyped. Yeah. So I can see, I see your point.
I've also been listening to Burn Candles,
mm-hmm.
you know, the cute candles
that
we burnt during an episode a few times ago. Anyway, she was saying that the diptyque candles are a soy blend. They're not actually a soy candle.
Yeah, which like petroleum.
Makes them extraordinarily expensive for what the actual product is as well. They're not worthy of the price tag for the ingredients that are contained within.
Interesting.
Which is another reason for them to be overhyped. And I'm sitting here looking at the is it J.S. Durga?
D.S. and Durga?
No clue.
Yeah.
Very clean burner.
Very clean burner. It's beautiful. Do you like that packaging?
Yeah, I do. I like the amber vessel as well.
Yeah.
At work for Fenton, we've been developing our own candles. So spoiler. I've actually been to... Yeah, they're out now.
Okay.
But we've gone to like the people that like make the scents and smelt them all. That was such an overwhelming experience. Yeah.
Did you come out with hives?
No, I didn't.
I would come out with a headache, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but I guess I do have a new appreciation for them.
Yeah.
We've done some like artist collaboration ones which are really cute.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's really fun. Do you know what I need in my life? A candle that has Alison Willoughby artwork on it.
Same.
How cute would that be?
Let's manifest it.
Yeah. Putting that out.
Manifesting. And what's a beauty trend that you wish would die?
Can it be past or present?
It can be whenever you want it to be.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So when I was just like thinking about like what we used to do
with
makeup, probably like my first ever like splurge product. Okay. When I say splurge, I mean it just wasn't purchased at the North Ringwood chemist.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know where I even would have got this because I don't think Mecca existed.
You would have got it from DJ's Eastland, I reckon. Mm. Or DJ's. DJ Doncaster.
Yeah.
Is it the Bobby Brown Joanna Fuzz?
Yes. Yes.
Of course it is.
I think this is Jackie Alexander's regret too.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. It was hers.
So, yeah. Thick Bobby Brown liquid eyeliner. I remember it came with this little brush.
Yes. Which, by the way, it didn't come with the brush. That brush cost like $50. So all of our mums would have taken us for a bloody after school trip and left with $90 worth of liner and a brush.
I don't know how I swung that, but yes, the little brush, I do remember that. And just like, I didn't know what I was doing. And this, I just remember it was quite
so
circular
thick.
Or like flicked, like just very extreme. But yeah, that's something that I would never buy that again.
Also the fact that you were like almost definitely not wearing foundation or any eyebrows, but you were wearing a quarter of a pot of Bobby Brown Intense Black Gel Liner, long wear gel liner.
I can see it now.
Yeah. We've all had that stage.
There. Yeah.
I just don't know if I regret mine. I still use that in my kit today.
Yeah, but
in a different way.
Be good at the look, at applying. Yeah. Like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah. I think I was in the same... Well, we obviously are the same age, and I was definitely in the same era where I had, like, a pitch black emo dyed my hair with a box dye.
Yeah, lovely.
And I had no eyebrows, none. And I didn't know what bronzer was yet, but I did know what Bobby Brown gel liner was.
Priorities, I guess.
Yeah. It's like a status symbol. Like, Lancome Juicy Tubes of the year 7 to 9, and then you hit 10 to 12, and it's like Bobby Brown gel liner and nothing else.
My sister called me the other day, and we were reminiscing about things of the past, and she was relaying to me what the Irish English teacher used to say to her, where he was always like, Ms. Ash, you got to tell your sister to stop wearing so much eyeliner. And she's like, Eliza was such an introvert. And she said it always made her so embarrassed. She was
secondhand embarrassment that someone was pointing her out that she had a sister and that she was on this earth.
And that her sister wasn't obeying the rules and she was wearing too much eyeliner. And Eliza probably hated it. It was all...
That's
horrible.
So funny.
I reckon my mum absolutely hated the fact that I wore it. Because I remember when I was in like year 7, I was allowed to get a mascara as like my first kind of makeup thing, but not eyeliner. Like eyeliner was off the cards. So as soon as I would have whipped up.
Our parents were very much of that time where they were like, it's provocative.
I know.
Yeah, that's risque.
Too sexy.
That's so risque. Yeah. The best part as well was none of us would use eye primer or anything else. So we'd go out to Rats, spend 7 hours moshing against each other, and then we'd come home and not only would you have the liner on your lash line, it'd be printed up under your eye.
And I have like a, what do you call that?
A hooded lid.
So I would have the double.
I had so bad. I'm the same. We're all hooded.
Jackie's was the best because Jackie's really quite hooded. So hers would just blend into like
one.
The whole lid was black.
Yeah. Probably looked good.
Yeah. Okay. And on a positive note, what is a beauty product that has changed your life? It can be Holy Grail or just something that's like stuck with you.
Yeah, so this one's easy. It's my perfume.
Yeah, yes.
Which has stuck with me since I was like 16, which I probably got from Maya Eastland. I reckon it came out in about 2006 or 7 or whatever.
Yep. And you would have got it with a gift with purchase with a body lotion included or
probably,
something.
Probably, yeah. One of those gift sets. It's the Chanel Chance Eau Fraîche.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically that one. It's like the green one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so 2000s. Like, it just brings me back to that era. But I just really like the smell. And I think I'm also just lazy that I can't be bothered to find a new one. But it's, like, life-changing in the way that, like, I have actually, like, smashed at least 3 or 4 of those bottles over my life.
You poor thing.
Like, accidentally dropping it, like, off the sink or whatever.
Mm.
At my boyfriend's dad's house and like stunk up his whole
the
house.
The whole house.
So when I discovered they have those like little twist, what do they call it? Twist and spray. Like I didn't even know you could get that. I'm just like, don't know this stuff.
Mm.
So when I found that you could have a twist and spray version of it.
Wait, how was it different?
It's like a travel version basically.
Yeah. So it's like in a little metal thing that you twist up so that there's no glass and you get refills for the thing. So that.
See, I don't know either.
Yeah. So I guess that's just been life-changing because I don't break it.
When Alison walked in tonight, I was like, you smell so good. What is that? I was just very interested in her scent. And so I just looked up the notes of the Eau Fraîche fragrance.
Yeah.
Have you seen this before, Lisa?
No.
Are you prepared to be surprised? Top notes, lemon, cedar, citron.
Uh-huh.
Middle notes, pink pepper,
uh-huh.
jasmine, and water hyacinth.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Base notes, patchouli, white musk, vetiver, teakwood, iris, and amber. So there you go.
That does sound like something we would like a fresher version of something we would typically wear, I would say.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, because I definitely don't like floral. I feel like it's not floral at all, which, yeah.
It's
that's
like,
the only thing I know about perfume, whether it's like floral or like...
Floral or not floral.
Smoky or something.
Yeah. We prefer a bit of a more zingy scent as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
We love a fragrance one.
Yeah.
People talk about fragrance as a...
No, and you're such a
constant.
Yeah, you're such a signature scent person. Like, now you are tied to that. Even if you do sway, like, you'll always have to have that in your repertoire because that does smell like you to me.
I'm such a brand loyal person too, like, to a fault.
On your wedding day, will you wear it?
I guess. I don't really care about my wedding.
No, great. Yeah.
I'm not a wedding girl. But
I'm
maybe,
just interested to know.
Mm. I guess, yeah. But, like, once I like something, it just sticks.
That's it. Yeah.
Which is probably why my...
It's going to make you the best mum ever if you ever plan to have children one day. Or, like, just person to have in your life. Because you're the one that people just go, oh, she needs restocks of this.
Yes.
And that is such a handy
my dad to have. Gives me, like, my perfume for Christmas.
I love it.
Stuff. It's easy. Yeah. And it's something nice you don't have to buy yourself.
Yes. Because it's an essential and it's annoying.
Yes.
Perfect.
Wrapping things up, this is the part where we do the things that we do every week, where we want to know what your beauty fave, your non-beauty fave, and your snack are.
Mm-hmm.
Very interested to know. What is your beauty fave this week?
Okay, so I've recently learnt that you can use products for things that they're not designed for.
What?
Which I didn't know. Like, I guess I'm just like, it says it's a blush, so it's a blush. But I've been into Mecca and I really wanted to get like a coral eyeshadow that is a liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really have anything specifically. I guess it's kind of like the Glossier one, the Skywash.
Yeah.
And I got some really good help and I got the NARS liquid blush in the color Torrid.
Yeah.
So it's like a bright reddy orange.
Yeah.
But if you don't put on heaps, it's like a pinky peach.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's something that I was like, Lisa hasn't actually even helped me with this one.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. So I've been using that, like, now that we can go out and do stuff, I've been wearing that.
Are you putting that on your cheeks or on your eyes?
On my eyes.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Do you blend it, like, up towards the brow, like, just, like, so it's kind of like, oh, my lids are just naturally sun-kissed? Or how are you wearing it?
I just use my finger to put it on.
Yeah.
Because I don't really know what else you do.
Yeah.
But the girl in the shop showed me. So I was like, sweet. And it's, like, it's quite bright, but it's still, it's, like, really creamy and that goes with the rest of my stuff because it just sort of meshes in.
Yeah. Because it's translucent. So you've got pops of colour, but in a way that's sheer and the skin shows through, which is just like literally so your aesthetic.
Because in the actual like thing, it's so strong.
Yeah.
Which is like off-putting, but so that's it. But I do have an extra one I just wanted to add in.
We love
beauty aficionado over here.
Yeah.
It's sort of beauty, sort of not. I don't know if it's relevant, but I got me and my partner, Jenny, these Hay toothbrush holders. Have you seen them before?
I think I have.
So they're like little and they're like ceramic.
Yes.
And they come in different block colours.
Yes.
And then we got matching toothbrushes.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got like the forest green ones and I've got like a lilac one.
That is very cute. And but what are you going to do when you like go through the toothbrush?
You buy another one.
Just buy another one.
Are they Hay toothbrushes?
Yeah, they're not expensive though.
Yeah.
Well, they're more than like a Coles.
Yeah.
Thing. They're more than
$3. They're not a Colgate 360, they're not, I'll tell you that.
They're not over $20, so.
Then they don't have a tongue cleaner on the back, I'll tell you that much.
No, where do you buy your hay from?
From the farm down the road.
Usually when like, because there's stuff on end. So when Denny buys clothes from there sometimes. I know there's a few stores around. Mm-hmm. There's a store that actually stocks some of my cards and stuff called Maker's Market.
Yeah.
Yes. And where is that?
I
follow them on Instagram.
Yeah. It's run by an artist called Kelly Thompson.
Yes.
And she's just set up her own little shop that's about to open. And she's started to stock Hay, which is really cool because there's not that many places that do that you can go see it in person and stuff. So yeah, she's selling it.
Great.
Some of it, like the homewares and stuff.
Yeah. Fuck yes. Kelly Thompson's the coolest person in the world, isn't she?
Yeah, she does a lot. Like she's an illustrator. She runs that store. She's like a bit of an influencer for like some cool brands and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my other one.
Thank you for that. That's very Lisa recommendation of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you see why we're friends?
Yes, you do. No, next one's non-beauty. Okay. What's your non-beauty fave?
Okay, so for something I'm watching, just a big TV person. Obviously, Survivor Season 41, which we're all watching.
Thank goodness.
Thank God we're missing it tonight. Sorry.
I know. Yeah.
We should have had a Survivor party.
We should have.
So after. Oh, that would have been good.
But then also we'd have to rewatch with all of our partners.
No, true. I wouldn't. I'd make Adrian do it himself.
But for something that's different, this is like such a boomery recommendation, but give it a shot. It's a show called Mr. In Between. Have you guys ever
heard of it? I think my mum watches it.
It's such a boomer. Like, it seems like such a boomer thing.
Yeah. Or maybe Brenton. What's it about?
So it's like a...
I'm surrounded by literally duplicates of myself.
It's a black comedy, but like crime drama at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of different in the fact that it's like quite funny in like, because I really like black comedy kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like really good storyline as well. It's Australian, which usually I'm like, no.
Oh.
Like, I don't care.
No, yeah.
Australian black comedy doesn't seem to go together in my mind.
No, but it's like really quite funny.
Okay.
Like how it's very like Australian jokes. And so it's like, it's like a combination of like The Castle.
I was going to say, is it like The Castle?
The Castle meets like The Sopranos or Breaking Bad or something.
Okay.
A combination of them.
Is it on ABC?
It's on Binge because it's like.
Okay. Is it a Binge exclusive?
I think so. They made it for the US, like FX or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you can watch it on Binge. They just came, the third season just came out and that was like the end of the show. So they've stopped it.
Okay.
Oh.
But it's very good. And like, Felicity recommended to me, our friend, and her partner also, he's not into Australian stuff that much, but he like loves it. My dad loves it. Okay. I love it. It's like
crowd pleaser. Yeah. It sounds like a sort of like Mayor of Easttown thing where it's like everyone you know is watching it and everyone would like it. That kind
of, but I feel like nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
I like haven't heard anyone talk about it, but that's why I thought I would.
Because no one pays for Binge. Unless it's true, Foxtel.
Which is a boomer thing.
Yes.
I use my parents' Binge account.
Yes. Yeah, we all do.
Literally.
Cool. Oh, we need a brief intermission.
Most importantly, what is your snack of the week?
All right, my snack of the week is so funny and random, but it is a Maxibon, but the flavor is Rick and Morty Pickle Rick mix. And I actually, I'm one of those weird people that didn't grow up watching The Simpsons or anything like that. So I've never seen Rick and Morty.
You haven't seen Rick and Morty. No,
everyone has a reaction. I didn't know so many people watched it.
I haven't watched Rick and Morty either, but I did grow up watching The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Okay. Also.
Well, that's, I know that's weird.
Like Morty.
And I'm not trying to be like, I'm so different. I didn't watch it. Like, it's actually been like a bit of a burden in my life because I don't,
you don't
know
get
what the
any
fuck
reference.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a bit of a stoner show.
People know shit because of The Simpsons. They're like, I already knew about that. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Did your mum not let you watch it because it was like crass and rude?
I was that
person. Oh, she wasn't like, it's rude. She just said it was shit.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's trash.
Yeah. And she was just like.
I just didn't care enough to push it. Like, I'm sure if I pushed it, but I just didn't really.
Alison's mum's like this very like cool progressive German mum that's just like, oh, Alison, don't watch it. It's not funny. And so Alison's like, okay, mum.
Yeah, Alison's sense of humour is just too elevated for her. No, but.
It's too dark for sure.
Wait, I need to clarify. Is this pickle and mint flavoured?
No, I think someone's named
Pickle. I think
pickle.
It's just this name. Yeah, he's a character. Yeah. There's no pickle in it.
Okay, great.
But it's just like choc mint and ice cream sandwich, which I love an ice cream sandwich.
And are you typically a mint chocolate
person? Yeah, which is very like. I'm 6 years old, but I love
it. It looks like a bit of a teenage boy snack. I'm not going to lie.
It looks like a Gamer Dan snack.
Speaking of design, this is the ugliest packaging I've ever seen.
Horrible. But it's all about, you know,
the taste. The taste. Really.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just thought it would be funny. And you can only get these at the servo. So
isn't that such a pain?
You can't get it at Coles. So I went past the Caltex on my way here.
Oh, you're good.
Lisa, can you please open it and try it?
Yeah.
It is a little bit humiliating purchasing these, I won't lie.
First impression. Okay, I'm going to have to cut out all of the crackles, but minty waft immediately from opening.
Can I sniff?
Artificial mint. The funny thing about this recommendation is that where I live, I counted the other day, there's probably 9 independent ice cream stores. We've got it all over there. I live in Brunswick. It's actually insane. Like, a new one opens weekly. So the fact that this is my fave is funny.
Okay. Well, it speaks volumes.
Aesthetically, it's fucking disgusting. It looks like if in a comical cartoon kind of way, an ice cream could grow mold and then get, like, rolled in tarmac.
Yeah, or, like, it just want to Choice Award and it's been covered in Nickelodeon slime.
That's what you want in an ice cream, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, interestingly, obviously because it's green, it's white chocolate rather than the milk chocolate that's normally on a Maxi Bon, which...
Is it?
Yeah.
It just tastes like green to me.
Yeah.
Green chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I know what it tastes like.
Go on.
Mint Tim Tams.
Oh, I don't think I've had mint Tim Tams.
Hmm. I like that. Maxi Bons are huge, aren't they?
Eliza so loves a Maxi Bon, but she's such a fucking dickhead. And she only eats the ice cream, or the biscuit side or the ice cream side. I can't remember.
It'll be the biscuit side, surely. And then she
puts the other half back in the freezer because she's like, someone else will eat the other half.
No. Have you?
No. She's made it gluten-free for you almost.
True.
She used to do it all the time at home.
The biscuit side's way better.
Such a gremlin.
Like, I would prefer it if it was just the biscuit side.
Yeah.
And half the size.
But Lisa sometimes you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
She doesn't like chewy biscuit, so this might be upsetting for your senses. No, you're alright with
it? It's okay.
Okay, whilst Lisa finishes her Maxi Bon, thank you for that snack of the week.
No worries.
This is your opportunity to plug things before we see you off into the night. Yep. What would you like to tell our listeners about you, Alison Willoughby?
Well, I guess if you're interested to check out my artwork, if you like design, colour, things like that.
Who doesn't?
Find me on Instagram, which I'm sure will be in the show notes.
Yes, but what's your handle for everyone who wants to Google?
Oh, cheers.
At alison.willoughby. So I've got a new series of workout that I've launched with my...
When you said new series of workout, I was like...
Fitness.
Pump an iron?
Oh, workout. No. So I've got a new series of work that I've launched with my 2022 calendar.
Yes.
So I've got a bunch of original pieces that are inspired by months of the year.
My favourites are January through, or December through February, the summer ones.
The summery colours, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also have commissions open at the moment. So if there's like something you've been wanting to get for a friend that's maybe hard to buy for or likes, you know, abstract art.
Mm-hmm. She's just inserting herself into our gift guide.
I know.
Yes. Yeah. I have a bunch of like different price options and sizes and things like that. And I'm doing like vouchers for that as well for Christmas.
That's so smart.
So like if there's someone you want to gift it to, but you don't know what they really would want.
Yeah. Yes.
And you can just give them the voucher and I can work with them to kind of
that's fun.
Figure out what their aesthetic is, what their colors and things like that. But yeah. That's about it.
That is great. Thank you so much for joining us today, Alison.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been really fun.
I finished the Maxi Bon mouthful. So good to have you here. Love having my friends on the pod. How fun is Alison? I just really wanted to have someone that was like an artist and knows about colour, but is also kind of like, what is beauty? And I'm so glad that we had that chat. I feel like it was fun.
It was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.